Praise the Lord, everyone. I'm not used to speaking with a microphone, so I'll have to work this out. Anyway, I love the Lord today, and I'm thankful that he is faithful. And I asked Sister Glover, well, what do you want me to talk? She said faithfulness. I said, oh, great, that's a good one. So if you'll turn in your Bibles to Proverbs chapter 20, verse 6. Proverbs chapter 20, verse 6 says, most men will proclaim everyone his own goodness, but a faithful man who can find. And I'm going to talk about a faithful man who can find. If you'll turn to Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 1 through 3. And I hope I don't have too many scriptures, but I do have lots of scriptures. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 1. My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the table of thine heart. And I want to talk about the faithful servant today. And in verse 3, it says, let not mercy and truth forsake thee. And the NIV says, let love and faithfulness never leave thee. Let love and faithfulness never leave thee. And I'm going to talk about faithfulness. And the Greek word for faithfulness is P-I-S-T-O-S. So if you can speak Greek, you could say that, or probably some of the Bible scholars here. It means reliable, to trust, having faith in, abide in, or the quality of being faithful. Faithful means loyal, full of faith or trust, firmly or resolutely sticking with a person, a group, a cause, a belief, or an idea, without waver. Other words for faithful are true, consistent, loyal, steadfast, devoted, staunch, or trusty. Thought those were interesting. But the Greek word, which is a root about holding fast or steady, it's considered God's strongest personal characteristic. So if we think about God, we think about faithful. God is faithful. He is a covenant maker, and he is faithful to the end. That's our God. He's faithful to the end. And faithfulness is a very, very important lesson, especially in today's time where men's word is no longer what binds them. I mean, you can't trust people in their word anymore. If they say they're going to be there, it used to be a person was as good as their word. But today, people don't even take vows very seriously. Marriage vows are not taken very seriously. People say, well, you know, I just don't feel like it. I just don't feel it anymore. Well, really? I mean, come on. Really? I mean, people don't, you just can't go by your feelings. Faithfulness means sticking it out even when you don't feel like it. Even when you don't feel like it. And the feeling's not there. It's the willingness to stand up for what's right and what's true. And even if things are bad, if things are good, if it's fun, if it's not fun, if it's hard, that's what faithfulness is. Even standing up when it's hard. And sometimes we feel like it might be easier to do it alone or to not be a part of a marriage or a group of people. Or, you know, sometimes it's difficult and maybe I just don't really feel like it. But really, that's not what faithfulness is. And faithfulness is important. Even when things get hard, we have to be faithful. And there's a lot of good examples in the Bible about faithfulness. So we have Abraham and Joseph and Moses and David and Elijah and Isaiah and Jeremiah, Noah, Ruth. I mean, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, Job, John the Baptist, Paul. So we can look in lots and lots of faithfulness found in the Bible. And it's very important. And sometimes it's not always easy. In Daniel chapter 3, verse 16, And you can turn there if you want to, or you can just read along. Daniel 3:16. And this is an instance about faithfulness here. And it says, so we know the story about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. We've heard the story before about how they were thrown in the fiery furnace. But I think this is interesting in Daniel chapter 3, verse 16. It says, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee this manner. If it be so, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. And he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Wow. Now that's faithfulness. That is faithfulness to me. I mean, this is real faith. The faithfulness that you're going to stand up for something, stand up for what you believe in, even when you're going to get thrown in the fiery furnace. Now you say, well, wait a minute. You know, God's going to deliver me from that furnace. But, well, did he deliver the Hebrew children from the furnace? Or did they have to go through the furnace? They had to go in the furnace. Now, can you imagine how awful that would be to be thrown in to a fiery furnace? Now, these are praying people, people who say, you know, King, we're not going to bow. You know, we're not going to bow. But God's going to deliver us. So wait a minute. The king said, oh, what does it say? The king got really mad. He got really angry, and he threw them in. Now, can you believe it? Well, wait a minute. Oh, no. You know, God didn't deliver them from that. They still had to go through that. And so they were faithful. They were faithful in the furnace, and God helped them. Now, many people, I mean, you can look around and you can think back in your church experience, because there's a lot of faithful saints here right now. And so I know that a lot of you know how it is to be faithful. But you can think in your mind, and there's a lot of empty pews today. And I believe that one of the reasons why the pews are empty and people aren't there is because they judge their circumstance. They judge the Bible by their circumstance. So the circumstance or the trial they got into, they looked at it and they said, well, wait a minute. God is not a God of suffering and of death and of things. And so when they interpreted the Bible, they interpreted it by their circumstances. So, oh, well, then God must not be true. God must not be real, or he wouldn't let us go through this. And so I think that's a very wrong view. And I think that the Bible, instead of interpreting the Bible by our circumstances, we need to take the Bible and interpret our circumstances, that God is there for us. Look at, he saved, he was with the three Hebrew children in the fiery furnace. But sometimes I think people think that when they pray, that God is going to give them every wish they have. Oh, Lord, heal me today. Well, you know, I mean, I think God is a God of healing. And I think God could have delivered the three Hebrew children out of the fire furnace. He didn't have to let them go through that. But there was some reason that God let them go through the fiery furnace. You know, sometimes God allows sickness to come upon us or doesn't heal us right away like we really think that he should right now. Lord, please help me. And I have to tell the story of one time we were figuring out a budget for the flying program and we were doing that and I left the room and they figured out the food budget and it was probably like a third of what we really spend on food. And then they were done, they rubber stamped it and they went on their way. And I said, oh my word, what are we going to do? Wow, that's not enough for us to feed a family. What am I going to do? $10 a gallon for a gallon of milk. I mean, you know, what are you going to do? How am I going to feed my family? And I was worried and I called my mom, and I was crying and telling her, oh, what am I going to do? And, you know, because, of course, I would never speak up in a meeting like that. She said, Lucinda, if you got everything you wanted, you would have no reason to pray. So, okay, well, Lord, you're just going to have to help us. You're just going to have to help us. And I'll just tell you some of the things that God did for me, and you maybe you've heard some of these stories before, but you'll get to hear them again. So one time, we didn't have enough brown sugar for Christmas time, and I like to bake. So So I was like, well, okay, well, I guess I don't get to bake cookies or whatever. And a box came in the mail from the Home Missions Division. And in that box was a bag of brown sugar. Now, who would think to put a bag of brown sugar in the Home Missions box? But God did. And another time, a box came from Rantoul, Illinois. It was a big box, and I didn't know anybody from Rantoul, Illinois. But in that box, I was worried about what homeschool curriculum I was going to teach Andrea when she was starting kindergarten. I didn't know. And I was going to homeschool her, but I wasn't sure, and it was already August, and had no idea. And then her dresses were getting too small. And then Sister Brenda Pizarro had come out, and she had one of these big square hairbrushes, and I just thought that was the coolest thing. Like they must have just came out or something. And I thought, wow, that's really neat, that big square hairbrush. And so I said, wow, I would just love to have one of those big square hairbrushes. And she was out there. We were in Equoc, and we did VBS, and we flew back to King Salmon. And we went to the post office on that Friday before the post office closed. We went there, and this box was there, this big box from Rantoul, Illinois. And in that box was a whole kindergarten homeschool curriculum. There were 8 dresses exactly Andrea's size, and in the bottom of the box was a big square hairbrush. Now, did I really need another hairbrush? I really didn't. But you know what? God loves us, and he cares for us, and he takes care of us. So, you know, it wasn't about... So what I'm trying to say is, though, even though the budget might have been too low, you know what? God knew, and he took care of all the little things, even the big square hairbrush that I really wanted. I mean, isn't God good? He's faithful. And if we'll serve him, even though everything might not just be perfect, and sometimes we might have to go through the fire, we might have to go through the furnace, we might have to be, you know, maybe we're not feeling good and we're sick and or something is happening in our body, in our life, but if we'll just be faithful, if we'll just be faithful, and we'll just serve God, he will be there for us because he loves us, and he cares for us, and he knows every need that we have. But we've just got to trust him, and we've got to go through something sometimes, and we don't understand why, and we don't understand, but you know what? God is not going to, you know, God's not a puppet that we can tell him what we need. And sometimes I think some people think that. They think, oh, well, I'm just going to pray and God's going to answer. And he does a lot of times. But sometimes the answer's no. And we have to accept that God says, okay, no, not right now. For some reason, he wants us to pray. And if we got everything we wanted all the time, we would have no reason to pray. And I'm just so thankful that God, he is our strength. He's a sovereign God, and we can trust him. In Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 11 and 12, it says, my son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary of his correction. For whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth, even as a father the son in whom he delights in. You know, if we gave our kids everything they wanted, oh my, life would be horrible. And if God gave us everything we wanted, we would be in a vat of selfishness. I mean, we would just be selfish. We would get everything we wanted, and that's not our God. He knows, he's sovereign, he loves us and cares for us, and he takes care of us. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Their faith was genuine, and they trusted the Lord. And sometimes when faith doesn't deliver us, because faith didn't deliver them, they still had to go through the furnace. God kept them. But the trust in God is what kept them. So they had faith. Well, God's going to deliver us. But, O King, even if he doesn't, they trusted the Lord. They trusted that even if he doesn't, even if he doesn't, we're going to serve him. We're going to trust him, even if he doesn't. A writer, Malcolm Gladwell, he presents a research by a psychologist, Andreas Erickson, and it's called the 10,000-hour rule, which suggests that to achieve greatness in anything, in any endeavor, it requires you or your team to invest 10,000 hours in that project. And an example that he uses is Bill Gates, who when he was 13 years old was given rare access to the high school computer, and he spent 10,000 hours developing a program, computer programming skills. And Gladwell's rule says that it takes 10,000 hours to achieve anything great. So let's apply this to our lives. Okay, let's just say this theory is true. So let's apply this to our prayer life, our Bible reading, or even our marriage. You're married. And or you're serving God, whatever, 10,000 hours. So say we pray or spend time with our spouse or read our Bible 1 hour a day. Just say that, 1 hour a day. 10,000 hours would be 10,000 days, which would be 27 years. Just by spending 1 hour. So to achieve his thing is just saying you have to spend time to achieve greatness. Any project, if you're going to do anything, you have to spend time doing it. And, you know, of course, we know Bill Gates. You know, he achieved greatness according to the world standards. And so by saying that, I'm saying that it just doesn't happen overnight. So you just can't give up. You got to keep reading your Bible. And I used to teach a Sunday school song. It said, read your Bible, pray every day, and you'll grow, grow, grow. Don't read your Bible, forget to pray, and you'll shrink, shrink, shrink. And I'm sure some of you sung that song before. But anyway, it's true. And let's turn to Psalms chapter 37. Psalms chapter 37 and verse 3. And I love this verse of scripture. And it says, trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. And he shall bring forth thy righteousness as a light, and thy judgment as a noonday. Rest in the Lord, and wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in the way, because of men who bringeth wicked devices to pass. Cease from anger, and forsake wrath. Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil. For evildoers shall be cut off, but those that wait upon the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. So we need to wait on the Lord. We need to trust in the Lord. We need to delight ourselves in him and commit to the Lord. But I love that part, but waiting upon the Lord and they shall inherit the earth. That's faithfulness, being faithful, just waiting on the Lord, serving the Lord, trusting in him. It doesn't matter how we start the race, or even maybe that we stumble along the way, but it's how that we finish the race. And Ecclesiastes chapter 9 and verse 11. It says, I returned and saw under the sun that the race is not to the swift, nor the battle to the strong, neither yet bread to the wise, nor yet riches to men of understanding, nor yet favor to men of skill, but time and chance happen to them all. And in Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 1 through 3, it says, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before us, before him, endured the cross, despised the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endureth such contradiction of sinners against him, lest ye be weary and faint in your minds. So we can't be weary, but we have to run the race. We have to be faithful and unto the Lord. And let's turn to Matthew chapter 25, or you could just follow along. Matthew chapter 25 and verse 21. And this is I asked that question earlier, who can find a faithful man? And that's what the Lord's looking for. He's going to look for a faithful, someone who's faithful. Not that you started out really good. Not that you didn't stumble along the way, because we all do. But he's going to be looking for a faithful servant. And Matthew 25 and verse 21 says, His Lord said unto him, Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many. Enter into the joy of the Lord. And in that same chapter, in verse 31, it says, When the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory, and before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another, as the sheep divideth his sheep from the goats. And he shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungered, and you gave me meat. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. Naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer and say, Lord, when, say we, when saw we thee hungered and fed thee, or thirsty and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger and took thee in, or naked and clothed thee? And when saw we thee sick or in prison and came unto you? And the king shall answer and say unto them, Verily, I say unto you, inasmuch as you have done it to one of the least of these, my brethren, you have done it unto me. And the Lord is looking for faithful servants. And who can find a faithful man? I think we can say we are going to be faithful. And we are going to serve the Lord. And we will be the faithful man. When the Lord comes, he'll say, Well done, thou good and faithful servant. So I just want you to stand today and let's just pray and ask the Lord to help us to be faithful and to help us to be to stand for him, even sometimes when our circumstances don't seem like they're all going right. And maybe something is going wrong, or maybe you've been stumbling along the way and you think, Lord, you know, what am I doing? Why am I here? Yeah. But you know what? If you'll just hold on, keep trusting in the Lord. Keep praying for him, praying to him. Read your Bible, pray, come to church, do what you can do, and just keep being faithful. Amen. God will take care of all that. If you're going through the fiery furnace, he'll bring you through. He might, if you're going through a sickness or if you're going through something, I'm not saying that God won't heal you, because he heals all the time. He is so great. But if there's something that you're going through that the Lord is allowing you to go through, just keep serving him and be faithful and, right. and keep trusting in him. Right. Let's pray. Dear Lord Jesus, we love you today, God. We thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you, Lord, that you are faithful and that you are there, God. I ask you to bless us today, God. Help us to come to you and to serve you with all of our mind and our soul and our strength, Jesus. Lord, that we'll hold on even in times of adversity, that you'll be there with us, God. And we thank you, Lord. Thank you for your word, God, that you've planted and that you've given to us, Lord, that we would apply it to our lives and that we would stand strong, Lord, and that we would serve you with all of our heart, God. We love you, Lord, and we praise you. In Jesus' name we pray. Thank you, Lord. Jesus' name. Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah. Why don't we come to the front and just ask the Lord to help us to remain faithful? I was reading in Revelation chapter 17 and verse 14, and it's talking about when all of these amazing things are happening, and a lot of them I don't understand, but in verse 14 it says, These shall make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb shall overcome them, for he is the Lord of lords and the King of kings, and they that are with him, and that will be us, are called, chosen, and faithful. If we want to be among the called, chosen, and faithful there, we need to be the called, chosen, and faithful here. So let's just dedicate ourselves to the Lord once again and say, in spite of the things that may be going wrong in our lives, in spite of the difficulties that I might not be delivered out of, and I truly believe that we wouldn't say that much about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego if God had kept them from the fiery furnace. But because he kept them in the fiery furnace, and they were not alone. Remember, the king looked in there and he said, I thought we only threw three in there. Well, there's a fourth one, and he looks like the, you know, Son of God. And so they were not by themselves. And not only were they not by themselves, those chains or whatever they tied him up with were gone. They were burned off. So they were free and walking around in that fire that was so hot that the people that threw them in died. That's a greater witness to me than if God had prevented them from being thrown in there. And so when you are standing strong, it is a greater witness to those around you than if you had been given everything you wanted from God. He knows exactly what we need. Thank you, Jesus.